Breaking news, in two cases, the Supreme Court temporarily blocks the release of President Trump's financial records. We'll talk about both of them today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You see in the headlines, the Supreme Court has blocked Congress from obtaining President Trump's tax records. The case has been sent back to lower court. It's also sent back to lower court another case involving the New York district attorney and a grand jury's attempt, so a state proceedings from trying to get the president's financial records, including tax records, and also sent that back to, remanded that back to lower court. And has raised issues in the case, like this involving grand juries. Grand juries are prohibited. This is quoting the opinion from Chief Justice Roberts. Grand juries are prohibited from engaging in, quote, arbitrary fishing expeditions and initiating investigations out of malice or an intent to harass. And it goes on to say that it includes bad faith. These protections, as the district attorney himself puts out, apply with special force to a president. And in the event of such harassment, a president is entitled to the protection of federal courts. The policy against federal interference in state criminal proceedings, while strong, allows, quote, intervention in those cases where the district court properly finds that the state proceeding is motivated by a desire to, you've heard this word a lot, harass or is conducted in bad faith. So these cases, to the chagrin of many in the mainstream media, there were no tax returns being released. The grand jury's not getting any financial records today. They go back and they start back over the district court with the Supreme Court pointing out what issues to raise. Now, in the case involving Congress, the court was even clear, saying that, you know, the congressional subpoena has to meet an even higher burden than a judicial state court subpoena. And in that case, it vacated the Court of Appeals of the Second Circuit and remanded the case back to the district court. So a lot to talk about here. This is the statement from my dad, Jay Sekulow, of course, counsel to the president. He's going to be joining us in just a minute on the broadcast. As you can tell, these are long opinions. There's a lot to digest here because it involves the president of the United States. It involves, of course, the current president, President Trump, but it involves future presidents as well. So in both these cases, they were 7-2. Reactions initially for the media was, did who won, who lost? And really what this is about is the constitutional authorities. It's not really so much, but I would say this. President Trump won today. The district attorney lost. Congress lost. Why? They're not getting the documents they sought. They've got to go fight again in court to try and get those documents. The Supreme Court did not just hand them over for them and make it very easy for them. They've got to go refight to try and get these documents. And now they've got to show that it's not a political witch hunt, that it's not politically motivated, that it's not, again, in bad faith. And so you can kind of flip this on them. And they've got to make sure, they've got to prove that their motives are not bad, and whether it's the grand jury and then Congress with even a higher burden. The statement is this, though. I want you to understand, I'm seeing it right now on television as I read it out to you from my dad, Jay Sekulow, counsel to President Trump. We are pleased that in the decisions issued today, the Supreme Court has temporarily blocked both Congress and New York prosecutors from obtaining the president's financial records. We will now proceed to raise additional constitutional and legal issues in the lower court. Statement from Jay Sekulow, counsel to the president. I want to hear from you. I don't think there's any place else in the country or world where you can actually be talking to the president's legal counsel about a case that just came out of the U.S. Supreme Court, two of them, one of which was argued by one of those legal counsels to the president. So give us a call now on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But for now, the Supreme Court has blocked Congress from obtaining Trump's tax records. It sent that case back to lower court. It's also prevented the grand jury from getting the financial records from President Trump without having to relitigate as well back in lower court, as legal issues will be raised. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110, and be right back.
AM At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. I want to make sure you understand, there's two cases. You heard the oral arguments because they were broadcast live, Trump versus Mazars. That, again, is a case involving the company, the accounting company, the accounting firm. And that case involved Congress' attempt to get the president's financial records, tax returns, et cetera. In that case, the Supreme Court has said that, let me just read from it because I think it just needs to be clear to everybody who's listening to this. When you read through, the court vacated the decisions below in Mazars, held that congressional subpoenas may be enforceable, but the courts below did not take into account all of the possible separation of powers concern. The courts below did not take adequate account of the significant separation of power concerns implicated by congressional subpoenas for the president's information. Here, the president's information is sought not by prosecutors or private parties in connection with a particular judicial proceeding, but by a committee of Congress that have set forth broad legislative objective. Congress and the president, the two political branches established by the Constitution, have an ongoing relationship that the framers intended to feature both rivalry and reciprocity. The question is whether the subpoena exceed the authority of the House under the Constitution. Historically, these disputes for presidential documents have not ended up in court. It said they've been hashed out by the legislative process and the political process. Interestingly, Congress has no, and this is quoted in court, no enumerated constitutional power to conduct investigations or issue subpoenas, but we've held that the House has the power to secure needed information. Because this power is justified solely as an adjunct to the legislative process, it is subject to several limitations. Most importantly, a congressional subpoena is valid only if it is related to and in furtherance of a legitimate task of Congress, must serve a legitimate legislative purpose. Finally, recipients of legislative subpoenas retain constitutional rights throughout the course of investigation, and recipients have long been understood to retain a common law and constitutional privilege with respect to certain materials such as attorney-client communication, government communication, and government communications protected by executive privilege. So that's the case involving Congress's attempt to get the president's financial records, which, again, it's not part of the Constitution, not part of the requirements that the president hand over. And in that case, Congress getting a higher bar of scrutiny than even state courts. Now, in the state court case in Trump versus Vance, this is to read the Chief Justice. This goes back to the district court, so it's remanded as well. Quote, we recognize, as does the district attorney, that harassment Harassing subpoenas could, under certain circumstances, threaten the independence or effectiveness of the executive. First, grand juries are prohibited from engaging in arbitrary fishing expeditions and initiate investigations out of malice or intent to harass. The policy against federal interference in state criminal proceedings, while strong, allows intervention in those cases where the district court properly finds that the state proceeding is motivated by a desire to harass or is conducted in bad faith. And, Dad, that is exactly now what will be before the district court. Was this being conducted in bad faith? Is it being conducted to harass the president?
So here's what you have. I mean, first of all, we would have liked to have had heightened scrutiny. I still think heightened scrutiny is Justice Alito and Justice Thomas saying the dissent is correct. But what is determined unanimously in the case involving the district attorney, it's best put up set forth by Justice Kavanaugh. He said the court today unanimously concludes that a president does not possess absolute immunity from a state criminal subpoena, but also unanimously agrees that the case should be remanded to the district court where the president may raise constitutional or legal objections to the subpoena as appropriate. Then you go back to the majority opinion by Chief Justice Roberts, and as you just read, he said grand jury subpoenas that are fishing expeditions or designed with malice or intent to harass would be prohibited. So now what does that mean? It means we have to go back to the district court. Here's what it means. Number one, no documents are being delivered either to Congress or to the district attorney. And I think CNN had that exactly correct this morning. No documents are being sent to the district attorney. No documents are being sent to the Congress. We go back to the district court. And with relation to the Congress, it's heightened scrutiny. They haven't met that burden. I still don't think they can. With regard to the district attorney, we now have to make the case that this is what we've said it is from the beginning, political harassment. Now, we're going to have to put forward the evidence. We'll show the statements. We'll show what's going on. There'll be a process. That's going to take some time. But I want to be clear. I would have rather have seen, of course, we argued two things primarily. One, absolute immunity for at least while the president is serving as president. Second, that at least it should be heightened scrutiny. And the court rejected the heightened scrutiny. And I think that's, again, I want to be clear, I think that's wrong. But what the court did leave open, and we are going to do this, is we will go to federal court just as we were. We are in federal court, and we will go back through this process again. Now that we had, this whole case took 4 days. But when there was never evidence put on, none of that happened. So now we'll have to go back and do that.
No, this was not, as this was important injunction. To point out, this was the fight over the injunction that made its way to the Supreme Correct. Court, not a trial.
Right, so we didn't put on what's called a merits case. We didn't put on the case that says, here's why it's harassment. Here's why it's distraction. Here's the evidence of this.
Which can go on. And I mean,
we're going to lay out the case. We'll see I don't know what the situation is with New York's in courts right now, how they're moving on those. But, I mean, at least a proceeding will go forward.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's I think, a very important legal distinction that the media probably won't point out to a lot of folks, is that haven't had, like, a full trial here. These were the parts of the case that you can typically appeal in the federal courts, to federal courts, on raising constitutional issues, but not on the merits of the case. So there has not been like a judge who has heard every part of this case from both sides raising the harassment issue, raising the issue of, again, a fishing expedition, and the fact that, you know, these subpoenas were both copy and pasted. They all had the same info in them. And so, again, those issues have not been fully litigated or flushed out even. And so I think that's important to point out. And that's why Ross Garber on CNN, a legal analyst and professor at Tulane, said this, Byte 38.
If I'm the president or his lawyers, I'm actually pretty happy. I'm actually very happy with these results today.
And it's very different, Dad, I'd say, when, as you do, as you represent the president, these issues, which are often so politically motivated, timing, election years, these kind of things, the winning, and it's a very different kind of winning and losing than if this was a religious liberty case.
Well, no, because there's so many nuances in this. So, I mean, in the congressional case, this is what's so unusual. Just think about this for a moment. In one sense, Congress is denied constitutionally, and I think correctly, the access to the records. The DA, we now have the burden. For a local prosecutor, we have the burden of establishing why it's distracting, harassing, or overbroad. Of which I think we will clearly make the case, but now we will make the case. But it's interesting, and that's where the commentators, I think, for the most part, are getting it right. I don't like a case that says the Second Circuit is affirmed, and that's what this said.
Yeah.
So I want to be clear on that. But what they said was the affirmance included, which is true, A, that we're entitled to be in federal court, which was a big win there, and number, because this, by the way, the local DA argued that we had no business being in federal court. They lost there. They lost at the Second Circuit. They lost at the Second Circuit and at the Supreme Court on that. So we won that issue of we're in the right jurisdiction. And number two, at least we have the ability to go back and show that the records and the information sought was harassment, was a violation of constitutional that's exactly what Justice Kavanaugh said. Constitutional issue. He doesn't even limit it just to, he says constitutional and legal objections. Legal objections include overbreath. Why do you need the same information that the DA, why does the DA need the same information that Congress needs for 10 years?
What does it have to do with your legislative
years?
Purpose either?
Legislative purpose for them and for the DA, investigative purpose. Why would you need those documents?
Yeah.
So I think that's the conclusion. Again, I would have liked to have seen heightened scrutiny, but I think, you know, this is not over. The reason it's going kind of, I think, fading from the news relatively quickly.
Because the media is not going to get the documents.
Right.
And that's that. The liberals aren't going to, the Democratic Party's not going to get any documents. And by the way, I don't even know if those documents are bad. It's just that they thought they had a chance of getting some documents that they could use for political purposes. Now they can't. And they cannot make the argument anymore that it's the president withholding them. Because the president has not been told today by the courts that he's got to turn anything over. Dad, that's also important to point out. The courts told the president today, hey, let's go fight this out in court. You don't need to turn anything over right now.
Nothing. So we're making sure that the subpoenas were issued to a third party. The third parties are aware that we're still in court.
Yeah, I mean, so this is an interesting question I think we can answer quickly. And we've seen it a number of times now on Facebook, but we pulled Anita's on Facebook. And if you want to talk to us on air, you've got a chance to talk to my dad right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Zero. Anita on Facebook writes, why do they go back all the way to the district court, the lower court?
That's because the lower court is the trial court. Right. So what the Supreme Court is saying in the Vance case, the DA case, is you didn't have that hearing. Now you get that hearing. You have the burden of establishing this. Then they will have to meet their burden. So that's where it goes to a district court, a trial court, not an appellate court. Appellate courts don't hear evidence.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just important to point out to people. This was got... You know, in the one case, the district attorney moved for it. In another case, Congress moved for it. This was immediately appealed on injunctions to prevent that from happening. There was no full trial in either case, so that now goes forward. What we do know is this. It is July. The election is November. And this case just restarted at the district court. So the media, which was seizing on this, hoping that there would be some huge rebuke of the president, that the documents would have to be released, you know, within a week or less. It's not happening. So quickly, the media will move on to something else. And that is why they had to shrug their shoulders and say, well, yeah, it really is a win for the president, and try to come up with something else to talk about today in the news. If you've got questions for us about it, this is a great time because you get to talk to the attorney who argued the case. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So this is a special show today, not discussing as many ACLJ issues. Of course, we're working, and we will let you know as soon as we file in California that ban on singing in church. That petition, of course, still very active at aclj.org. I encourage you to go there, sign that petition, share it with your friends and family. We'll be back to those kind of issues tomorrow on the air. But and this is unique because at the ACLJ, of course, you know, some of us also represent the president in outside capacity from the ACLJ, separate from the ACLJ. And on this broadcast on Jay Sekulow Live, well, Jay Sekulow, who's here with us and argued one of these cases as being discussed so much in the news today involving the president. Now, I mean, we've done impeachment. We've done Supreme Court cases via phone. It's been quite a year legally, Dad, and it's been complex. This does not have the same kind of, you know, the impeachment, I think people got used to. It either happens or it doesn't. It's over. Here, we had a case involving Congress. We have a case involving a district attorney and a grand jury, and it is far from over. That is not good news for liberals who thought they could use somehow these records politically against the president, or the media who thought they'd have something new to talk about.
So here was the expectation. The expectation today was there was going to be a ruling that said the president was going to have to hand over to somebody all of these documents immediately. There's really three cases here. Two are consolidated. In all three cases, no one's handing over any document
to people.
Okay, so there was two congressional subpoenas, different committees, so two separate lawsuits. They were heard jointly. And my colleague, all of us that worked on, all the lawyers that worked on this worked on all three. So it was the Supreme Court team on one was the Supreme Court team for all three. So we all worked on all three. And then we just divided up the oral argument to the two cases. So what the expectation today in the media was, and that's why networks were breaking in live, was hand over the documents. Documents are going to be released. Congress would get these documents, and these documents would be on the floor of the House in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
None of that happened. Then it was going to be, well, at least they'll get to the New York attorney, DA, and he'll turn them to the grand jury. Maybe somebody will leak them. Somebody was going to have to get something today.
Yeah.
And the end result is nobody's getting anything today.
Nothing. And now they've got to, those who want the documents have got to start back over and go through a full legal trial. They cannot.
Yeah, that's what's going
to
happen.
They tried to short circuit that also. You know, that was interesting too. The DA wanted to like short circuit the whole process of a normal trial.
Yeah, he didn't even want to do
stays. You've now been given.
We had a fight for stays in that case.
You've been now given the opportunity to go back and raise all these issues by the Supreme Court.
Yes, but now you got to put on the evidence. You'd have a trial. Right. Of course, I think they're still doing a lot of this electronically with everything going on.
Depositions.
Discovery if necessary.
Yeah.
What it does, it puts both cases back in the district court. In the congressional case, with heightened scrutiny.
Yes, it's much more difficult for Congress.
Yeah. In the DA's case, it's threshold scrutiny.
But
regular
still has
level
to
scrutiny.
Fight through normal things. They don't just get to say
we recognize, as does the district attorney, that harassment subpoenas could, under certain circumstances, threaten the independence or effectiveness of the judiciary. That's of the executive. That's from Chief Justice Roberts' majority opinion. And he then says, first, grand juries are prohibited from engaging in arbitrary fishing expeditions and initiating investigations out of malice or an intent to arrest. Now, we have the burden of establishing that at the trial court.
And one of those, I guess, would be the fact that he copied and pasted a subpoena from Congress.
That's evidence one.
Second would be the court has reserved the right to jump back in on this. The federal court, it said
the federal courts are in this.
And they said,
Both of these cases are back in federal court, right at the back of the trial court levels.
Yeah, yes. So I think it's important for people to know. So this is just, again, this is working through hundreds of pages of legal documents involving presidential power. This is the highest level when the Supreme Court weighs in on
now,
this.
It's fading out of the news really quickly. Do you
think
that's because
the news likes things that are quick and easy, and this isn't quick and easy because it actually involves legal discussion. That's why our audience enjoys it. That's why our audience is paying attention to it. But that when you start talking about, okay, now this was on an injunction, this goes back to the trial court, guess what? Most viewers of the news start tuning out. They just want to know, am I going to see tax returns or not? On both sides of the aisle.
And the answer is no.
Answer is no. Media, very upset. You think MSNBC wants to spend more time on the fact that the president doesn't have to turn over his tax returns that they've been crying about getting? No. So they had to report what they had to report, and they move along. Let's go. And this was, by the way, the final day of the Supreme Court. No more opinions coming out of the Supreme Court.
That's it.
This is it. 1-800-684-3110. Let's start taking folks' questions. We've got Andy available, too. We'll bring him in with the questions as well. Carolyn calling from Texas Online 4. Carolyn, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. Hi, Andy. Okay, so I wanted to say thank you for clarifying on this, because when I've been watching for those opinions since 5 o'clock this morning, I looked at it myself, and I'm the Congress, the one with Congress, went pretty much the way Jay said it was going to go. They kicked it back to the lower court, and then the other one, I read it. It didn't feel like a win to me.
Well, it's
when I read it the first time.
Yeah, well, look, I read it the first time. I said the same thing. I and then what you have to do is
sixteen pages in,
you realize, oh, wait a minute, it is back down to the district court, so it has been sent back down. The Chief Justice says that it's at the very end of the opinion, pages 16, 17, and 18, and then Justice Kavanaugh in his concurrence says the court unanimously concludes that the president has the right to bring this case in the district court to put on the evidence to meet these burdens of constitutional and legal problems with these subpoenas. So it's there, and it's a harder burden. I want to be clear on that. We would have much rather had heightened scrutiny on both. So I think the dissent got that right in the Vance case. But you deal with what the facts you got, and it just means we have to put a case on now.
That's right, Jay. The fact that there was a rejection of the absolute immunity and the heightened need for issuance of a subpoena is not a defeat, in my opinion. Rejecting a heightened need standard does not leave the president without recourse. As the court says, a president may avail himself of the same protections available to every other citizen, including the right to challenge the subpoena on any grounds permitted by state law, which usually include bad faith and undue burden or breadth. So that when the president invokes such protections, which we are going to do, and I'm quoting from the court, the high respect that is owed to the office of the chief executive should inform the conduct of the entire proceeding, including the timing and scope of discovery. So in addition to the deference that has to be shown to the president who claims a undue burden or harassment, a president can raise subpoena-specific constitutional challenges to those. He can challenge the subpoenas and attempt to influence the performance of his official duties in violation of the Supremacy Clause. And he can argue that compliance with a particular subpoena would do what? Impede his constitutional duties. I read this and I am very heartened by this. The fact that absolute immunity and heightened scrutiny may have been rejected as the standards does not mean that the president is devoid of the rights that he has to challenge these subpoenas in the district courts from which it emanated ultimately. And I see that as a victory, and especially am I heartened by the fact that the Democratic-controlled media and the Democratic-controlled House is who have been salivating to get the tax returns, and the other documents from the president have been rejected, and the Supreme Court has said, no, you're not getting them today, and you know what? You may never get them.
I think it sums it up. Again, I think the heightened scrutiny standard should have been the standard in both. They didn't on the state DA decided not to go that way, but we live to fight another day.
All right, folks, when we come back, second half hour coming up, we continue to take your phone calls, your comments, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, online, ACLJ.org, our petition as well, to again, this ban on singing in churches. We are going to be filing in California that lawsuit very soon, likely this week, so we'll get back to that tomorrow. We'll get back to kind of regular broadcasting, if you will. Or taking your question calls on this as well. There's a lot of misinformation in headlines. I'm even reading the Drudge Report headline. It's wrong. I mean, you can tell when people aren't lawyers writing headlines. Let's put it that way. 1-800-684-3110 if you've got questions, comments. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Secchio Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Here's the problem with headline reading. So I'm reading Reuters right now. It says, like, a prosecutor could get the records, but Congress can't. But then later on in the article, it says the prosecutor and the grand jury won't get the documents because the court said that they can be litigated. So it's like, yeah, and they're going to be litigated. You're hearing from the president's legal team.
Yes, absolutely. I will make this clear. We will be litigating both issues in the district court, both as it relates to the subpoena issued against the president by the grand jury in New York and also the ones issued by the congressional committees. Let me be clear. Both of those will be litigated pursuant to the Supreme Court's guidance on that. In the congressional case, that means heightened scrutiny. In the case involving the grand jury, there's deference to the office of the president, but it's not a heightened scrutiny level. So we will meet our job is then to meet the burdens that we have to carry, and then they will have to carry their burdens. So as Andy, as you said, we're back in court. That's what that means.
That's exactly right, Jay. We're simply back in the district court, fighting the battle to determine whether or not the prosecutors in New York and whether the House committees have met their burden of not proceeding in bad faith and not proceeding in a harassing manner or in the case of the grand jury, looking at a fishing expedition. It's not the job of the district attorney, if I may paraphrase Justice Ginsburg, it's not the job of the district attorney or of the Congress to sally forth every day looking for wrongs to right. That's not the job. Their job is to legislate in the House and in the district attorney's office to prosecute criminal offenses, not to invent them. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing, challenging these subpoenas that have been issued by Cyrus Vance and the district attorney for New York, and challenging the subpoenas that have been issued by the House Oversight Committee on the basis of the separation of powers. And that victory in Mazars, and it is a victory, because as Jordan pointed out earlier, that decision was vacated. That means it was set aside, overturned. It's out. The House has to start from scratch again with deference to the president. Remember that. So I don't care what Reuters and CNN are saying about Mazars. They're wrong. That was vacated, Jay.
Yeah, no, the subpoena issued by the House in the Mazars case, which was the congressional one, they have vacated. They didn't reverse it technically. They vacated and remanded it with a new standard. In the other case, they affirmed what grand jury case, they affirmed what the Second Circuit said, but still remanded it back for proceedings in the district court where all nine justices agree we can raise these constitutional issues.
Yeah, I mean, this were the headlines from CNN: Supreme Court blocks Congress, New York prosecutors from getting Trump's financial records for now. Fox: Supreme Court blocks Congress from getting Trump's tax records, sends back to lower court. MSNBC: Supreme Court blocks Congress from getting Trump's taxes for now. So you see that when they finally all figured it out, that this is all about the media. I mean, this is why it is harassment. I mean, it's interesting to me that terms like harassment, terms like fishing expeditions are in Supreme Court opinions, because this is what this president has said all along, that he is being harassed, and the Supreme Court justices, seven of them, signing on to saying he might very well be being harassed, and he needs to be able to raise that in court proceedings, Dad. That they are actually using the word the president used and gets criticized for using that harassment word. The Supreme Court has used it. Seven justices sign off on that.
Yeah, well, really nine, because the other two have it in their dissent too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know that. Yeah, all the people are saying, I can't believe you're saying the president's being harassed. Well, he was being harassed. He is being harassed, and the harassment continues. But now it continues back in the district court.
Yeah, a little bit different. Let's go to Mary Ellen on. We start taking your calls. When we come back from this break, and we are going to do that. A lot of you are on the phone now. You got great questions. We're going to start taking your questions. It's a unique show. We're not going to do this every day, of course. But where we kind of take off those ACLJ hats, put on the hats as attorneys for the president, and answer the questions about the case involving out of the U.S. Supreme Court. So when we come back, we take your phone calls, your comments, and we have one line open right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I also want you to go to ACLJ.org. We are preparing that lawsuit in California on that ban on singing and chanting places of worship. And again, we're putting together the clients there as well. And the petition continues to grow. 168,964 people. So almost 170,000 people on that petition in 48 hours at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we've got over, you know, there's the two cases. You've gotten more detail on this than any legal show on television would even get into. And you're actually talking to the attorney who argued the case at the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, it was an argument done in this very room.
It was. A little strange part of history.
Rarely will ever be able to say that about a Supreme Court argument. You can say it was done right here. This is the spot. It was done here because of COVID-19, and you heard it live. Also unique. Because of COVID-19, they broadcast those live. But yet they still issued their opinions, and they showed on TV like the court. They're not there. That's a funny thing to kind of point out to me. Is, you know, the Chief Justice, he's at his house. He may be in the Washington, D.C. area.
Or Maine, I think he's at
house. Yeah, Chevy Chase area, whatever. I don't know where everybody is, their vacation homes and places like that. But they literally could be anywhere. Where they aren't right now is probably overseas where they usually would be, which is teaching in law schools, overseas summer programs. So they're not doing that right now. But they acted, even the way they released the opinions, it was like they were still sitting there reading off their dissents and things like that. They're not. I mean,
but
there's no one in
the
only
apart.
People at the court, I think, are the guys securing the court. And that's why it looks so nice today, because there were no protesters, nobody there, no one in line, no tourists, and there are no lights. But you can actually so the room we're doing this in, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, that's where these arguments were made involving presidential power. I mean, you think about that for a minute, and the different workings between Article 1, Article 2, Article 3. I mean, you've got all the
say to our team.
So I want to go to the phones, because then you got this unique opportunity to ask about it. It's one you got to see like never before, hear like never before. Mary Ellen in Illinois on line 5. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Oh, hello,
Hi.
And thank you for your great work. My question is this, regarding the New York case. Who triggered the initial grand jury? Why was the grand jury even impaneled? About what?
Well, the New York grand jury, we don't know, of course, because grand jury proceedings are supposed to be secret. But, you know, what you've read in the paper is business dealings and things like this. Here's what it is. Political harassment. They didn't originate their own subpoena. They copied the subpoena from the House of Representatives word for word. So we know what this is at the end of the day. But again, now we go back to the trial court, Mary Ellen, and we go through this whole process again. And, you know, Annie, one of the things I said earlier, which is correct, is that I think, you know, you and I both have tried a lot of cases. There was never a trial here. This was all done on an injunction very quick. There's nobody has heard actual evidence.
Well, they're going to hear it now, because we're going to go back and we're going to disclose, ex- expose this for the harassment that and the political witch hunt that it really is, both in the district court in New York and before the House Oversight Committee and the subpoena that was issued to Mazars. And you're correct. This was heard on an expedited basis based on an equitable desire to get an injunction against proceeding. It went up on a very bare record. But to answer the caller's question directly, the subpoena from New York originated with the New York District Attorney, who copied a subpoena that was issued by the House and who's just on a simultaneous pass with the House of Representatives to harass and to burden this president. And that is a misuse of the grand jury process. It is not the instance of the grand jury to fabricate crimes, but to investigate criminal acts that are brought to it. That is not as what has happened here, and that's why we are going to be attacking these subpoenas for bad faith, for harassment, for overbreadth, and for constitutional violations.
No, I mean, you also look at the court actually talks about fishing expeditions. That this is not a green light for fishing expeditions. So it's not the role of the grand jury to do that. I want to get right to the phones because people have got a lot of good questions. Doreen in Wisconsin, line one. This is one that people always have. Doreen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call today. I'm one of these lonely conservatives in Madison, Wisconsin, but I'm hoping that we change that around come November. You know, we're kind of used to Congress wasting our tax money, but my question is, who is paying the lawyer fees for Congress and the state now to go after Trump?
Well, the Congress, you're paying it because it comes out of the federal budget, and that means your taxpayer dollars. On the state, it's the district attorney of New York, the county of New York, so it's the people that live in the county of New York in Manhattan. That's who pays for it.
And we don't vote on how Congress wastes.
No, of course not. Congress, this is, elections have consequences.
This is a Democrat-controlled House. They get to use it. I mean, this is partisan decision-making.
Well, but let me be clear. They got to use it, but they were told that they didn't meet the burden.
But they can go back and try again because they're in control. They can spend as much of your money as they want so long as Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House. They can lose. They can keep losing and losing and losing and spending millions of your taxpayer dollars to lose, because if you don't think that elections have consequences, you're burying your head in the sand. It's not just about tax policy. It's not just about issues like abortion. It is about things like these go-nowhere lawsuits, presidential harassment, and wasting your hard-earned dollars, especially hard-earned during a pandemic. Let's not forget, when are they doing this? Why were we not at the U.S. Supreme Court? Funny enough, in a kind of twisted way, because they couldn't even have their doors open. Yet the president is operating at the White House today. He is running the country. Guess who isn't? The Chief Justice of this U.S. Supreme Court, who is not at the Supreme Court with all his fellow justices handling these opinions. He's doing it remotely. Now, some of you are working that way too, because that's the safest way to do it. But the president doesn't get to make that call. The president is different.
Yep.
The president is unique.
Yes.
It is unique to be the president of the United States, and there's no other position.
Majority recognize that, but not enough.
No, and I think that they don't get it even when they're sitting at home and the president is in the Oval Office and still having to run the entire country.
I think that's right. You know, Andy, I was thinking about this, and Jordan's right. You know, the wrong part. I mean, in the Vance decision, where I think Alito and Thomas absolutely got it right, was while they, in the majority, they acknowledge the unique roles of the president. As you read those quotes, you can't burden the president. That's why they should have applied heightened scrutiny.
Well, absolutely right, Jay. Heightened scrutiny really is the standard,
right.
And it should have been absolute immunity as well. And Justice Alito and Justice Thomas, who I have concluded today are the only true conservatives on that court, have found the in their dissents stated that it was heightened scrutiny and absolute immunity. That, unfortunately, is not what the majority did. But the majority, nonetheless, even though it does say that heightened scrutiny is not the standard and absolute immunity is not the standard, opens the door for the president to challenge these subpoenas in the courts below. And I think that's the very important thing. And that is a victory in many ways for us.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Part of our team's working on that lawsuit, the district court portion of the Vance case and the congressional cases right now. And as I'm coming to you on air, there are lawyers working, our team is working on. Now, Justice Kavanaugh, in the opinion, made a really important point in his concurrence. A state criminal subpoena to a president raises Article II and Supremacy Clause issues because of the potential for a state prosecutor to use criminal process and issue subpoenas in a way that interferes with the president's duties through harassment and diversion. And this, he would say, I would apply the longstanding Nixon demonstrated specific need standard to this case. So you understand that was the that was from Justice Alito. Alito and Thomas would have applied the heightened scrutiny, which makes it an easier case for, when I say an easier case, the burden really falls on them. This one reverses it. The burden's on us to establish that these are harassment and that these are overbroad and constitutionally infirm. We're going to do that now in the proceedings. Those proceedings will start. Again, I don't know exactly how they're doing proceedings in New York right now on evidence and things like that, but that's going to be the way in which it's going to proceed. But you know what happened today and the reason it's not really, I'm looking at our screens here, and I only see one network right now, but I don't know, Will, we take a look up. Is it on the other networks right now? MSNBC is still covering it a little bit. It's because nobody's getting documents today, and that's what they were all hoping for. And if the battle here is the constitutional conflicts, in that sense, I think what Justice Kavanaugh said in his concurring opinion, that all nine justices agreed that these issues can be raised. Let me assure all nine justices and the rest of the American people, those issues will be raised.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from this next break. But a quick question for you, Dad. Typical Roberts to kind of not make a big precedent?
Yes, John Roberts looks at, doesn't want to do more than is necessary. They don't decide issues that they don't have to clearly hear.
A little bit narrow and convoluted. Instead of just saying, like, the president has this or doesn't have this, it doesn't really say that.
No, it does not.
And it reserves the right for them to come back in.
This case could end up right back before them again.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll see where they are. Will they be doing it from the comfort of home? Or will they be actually back on the actual bench themselves, back in their, as I like to say, fancy robes? We will see. We'll take your calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A lot of politics at play here, too. I mean, we can cut through that right away. You think either one of these cases just came about in election year, just so happened to be an election year? No. Do you think any of these were brought by, do you think that DA in New York is a Republican? No. The House is controlled by Republicans? You know they're not. The Senate, any Senate committees try to do this that are controlled by Republicans? No. I mean, they're so partisan. It's disgustingly partisan, actually. Disgustingly partisan. And that's the worst kind of abuse of our legal system, is when it's disgustingly partisan. The worst. The worst of kind of the American spirit, if you will, taking the American spirit, turning it on its head. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live, 1-800-684-3110, taking your calls in the final segment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Order, people been holding on. Let's go to Jerry in Florida. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're talking the Supreme Court. These cases involving the president, tax returns, financial records. Jerry from Florida online too. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, Jay. Thank you so much for welcoming me. First, I want to say thank you all for all that you do. I've followed you many years,
and I thank you,
and I appreciate all that you're doing for Israel. My question is, and I think you might have answered it already, can the president sue for harassment of all these different people, not for the government, for the different people that are bringing all this
up? That's a really good question. Now, go ahead and finish your question. I didn't mean to cut you off. You've been holding a long time. But
okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Go ahead.
Please.
So you can't do your job when somebody's already running you down. And then when you don't do it the way it's supposed to be doing, then they throw another curve in to try to make you feel like that you haven't done a good job when you have. But tell the president, we're standing with him. He have done a good job.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate that. You raise a really good point, too, and that is, look, we were the plaintiffs, and when I say we, the president was the plaintiffs in these cases. We challenged these because they were targeting the president, so the president initiated the litigation. What happens now after you read through all hundreds of pages of this, Andy, is it goes back, and now we have to have a trial.
Yes, we have to have a trial in the district court. In other words, we have to bring evidence of harassment, of bad faith, of overstepping their bounds, of fishing expedition, of witch hunt, and of all the political machinations that the district attorney in New York has put into play, that the House committee have put into play. And then we have to hash those out before a district judge who has to make findings of fact and conclusions of law. And then we go back up the chain again through the appellate courts and back to the Supreme Court again, because I predict, Jay, that we are going to see this case in the United States Supreme Court yet again.
I think you're right. This is not the end of this case by any stretch. Either one of them. I think both of them will be back.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Richard in California, online 6. Richard, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, thank you guys for everything you do. I had a little bit more of a broader question. And what was weird, what I found weird with this whole situation is, is this the first time this issue has ever been brought up in history about a president's tax returns? And from what I understood is, didn't the Mueller investigation have access to his tax returns? So if there was anything illegal going on or anything bad going on, wouldn't that have been raised with the $40
million? Yeah, but it's not really about illegality or what's in the tax returns. It's not about that. If tax returns are tax returns. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires a president to disclose tax returns. That's number one. Has there ever been a state prosecution of a sitting president? No. By the way, that doesn't mean that they can bring charges against the sitting president of the United States. They'd lose that case. We've got a burden here that we have to establish on the trial court level in the Vance case. On the congressional subpoenas where they requested tax returns, they basically said, you know, you've got to show a much higher standard of need here, and they vacated the lower court opinion. So in two of the three cases, we got pretty much what we were expecting. And then in the one case, we did not get what we wanted. We were still in the fight, which is fine, but it would have been nice to have heightened scrutiny. But having said that, you know what? I deal with the things as they are, not as I wish they would be. So you deal with it. You now got a standard of proof that you got to meet. We're going to do it. I mean, lawyers are already working on it. Documents are not being released today, tomorrow, or in the immediate future. That's why the news was pegged in. That's why the networks broke in. And that's why they're now talking about a lot of other things.
I mean, I see a Twitter headline that says that, like, the New York prosecutor is getting these documents, and that Twitter is wrong. He's not getting anything right now.
No, nothing.
I mean, and it has no right to get anything right now. He has to go back to trial. He knows that too.
Yes.
But it's the media just they don't understand.
I mean, CNN got it right, shockingly. I don't know if they still do, but they got it right in the beginning.
But some of these other newer media outlets, and also Drudge is wrong. I would say, Matt Drudge, your headline is completely off.
Listen, you know what? I'm not defending any of them. It's 200 pages. When you read all these opinions, there's just a lot to go
through. Sometimes maybe before they start blasting out headlines, they should get a
few pages. Well, look, people were demanding a response from us, and we said, we've got to see the opinions.
Yeah. Exactly. Chris in Nevada, online 3. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. On remand, is the district attorney wedded to the same subpoena, or can he change it?
Great question. That's a really good question. So now, does the district attorney stick with that subpoena, or does he issue a more narrow one? And I don't know the answer. He could easily do that or try to do that. So I don't know. That is the question. It's a very good question, and I'm not sure what Andy, you've done. You know, you are a DA. I mean, you've served in that capacity, special DA. Yes. I have too. But a DA could pull a subpoena and then reissue another one.
I've issued a few hundred grand jury subpoenas on behalf of the grand juries through 45 years of law practice. And if he's smart, he would reissue a different subpoena, narrowly tailored to meet the purpose for which he was out in the first place. But I don't think he can, because the subpoena was issued for harassment purposes and to embarrass the president, and not for any real criminal purpose. So I don't know that he can really in good faith issue a new subpoena. But the answer to the question is, he could issue a different subpoena altogether. Absolutely.
Yeah, it would actually be it's almost like a dare, because then he'd actually have to be showing what is he actually going after. What does he think he has? What actual interest? Why is this good faith and not bad faith? You know, if you want it so broad, so what is the narrow area that you think there's something there? Because he would then have to show his cards. To issue a more narrow subpoena would be showing his cards, which would in a normal thing, you'd be able to do that if you were the prosecutor, because you'd be doing it in good faith and not for political purposes. And this, more difficult.
I think much more difficult.
Gina in New York on line one. Gina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. My comment is that aside from the harassment and the political angle, as a CPA, I can tell you that the tax returns are not going to tell you that much without supporting documentation, and it's just an excuse for subjectively popping up numbers for political theater.
You're 100%. First of all, you know, I'm not going to disclose what I know about the case, because the case is ongoing. I'm not doing, other than our broadcast, I'm not doing TV media or radio media today on this, because the cases are ongoing. These are live cases. But Gina, you're absolutely correct. But it's not about that. It's not about the actual tax returns. It's about an attempt to leak information out, get information out. That's what it's really about. The tax returns, like you said, the tax returns are just numbers. Here's what your income is. Here's what your deductions are. Here's what your tax obligation is. That's what it is. That's what it establishes. So anyways, that's where that is. I will say it was an interesting ride. I will tell you that. This has been, like Jordan said, I argued the case right here. I mean, I'm pointing to the spot where I argued the case is back in the corner there, to the Supreme Court of the United States, representing the President of the United States. I mean, there you go. And my colleagues were in other locations doing the same thing in the three cases. So overall, we're pleased. Again, we would have liked heightened scrutiny on the Vance case. We didn't get heightened scrutiny, so now we've got to deal with the scrutiny level that they put forward. We've got to show harassment and other constitutional issues. We're going to do that. That makes it not an easier job, that's for sure, but a job nonetheless. And they say they recognize that there's unique aspects of the presidency, and we're going to certainly point all that out. So you know what the end of the result is today? Nobody's getting any documents.
Well, I think, too, people at the ACLJ can be proud, too. Right. You understand that if you have been a supporter of the American Center for Law and Justice, or even going back to Case before merging with American Center for Law and Justice, you know, the cases that you initially did and still do, First Amendment, religious liberty, to even think of those before the Supreme Court was a big deal, to defend, to represent the President of the United States and to get into Article II powers is a different level of legal expertise. You now reach that, and I think it shows to all the supporters as well out there. People at the ACLJ can be proud of their support as well, because you were chosen by the President of the United States because your expertise in the Supreme Court Constitution to represent the leader of the free world. And everybody out there has supported the organization to get us to that point.
No question about it. And a very big thank you to all of our members. And another thank you for those of you that continue to support the work of the ACLJ. We got a big lawsuit that we're planning for next week, end of this week or next week, on the situation for the churches in California. So stay tuned for that.
And it changes everything with those two.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.